Hey, this is Levi speaking. I have Nate to my right and Travis across the way. Hey, have you ever been in a situation where someone has annoyed you or somebody who has been just maybe wronged you, or maybe they're just corrupt just inside of what they do and how they act, and yet the scriptures are calling you to live at peace with all men? How do you actually do that? Do you have to live in a toxic relationship? Do you have to live in something where you see corruption at such a high level? And how do you confront that? What do you do? Because the Bible tells us to live at peace. What does that actually mean? That's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be looking at what does it mean to live at peace with men, if at all possible, is what the Bible actually says. Sometimes it's really not possible. And so how do you guys live at peace with all men?
I mean, that's hard sometimes because we go through storms of life. We face trials, and sometimes we face them with people. Like, it's really easy for us to look at that and be like, this could have easily be taken care of. Like, we didn't have to go this route, and yet we're supposed to try to do that. And I think that's the challenge. That's the struggle. Did you use the word shalom? Did you say that in your opener?
I did.
So shalom is interesting because that's a Hebrew word that means peace. But I think as you dig into that and what it really means, it was a greeting from the Israelites, right? Modern day Israel, I think they still use shalom as like, hey, what's up? You know, like we say, how's it going? They say, hey, shalom, brother. And so they use that there, but it's more than just this casual hello or goodbye kind of idea, because it really means peace be with you. And so they're sharing that back and forth with each other as a greeting. We see some of that in some churches around here. But how do you live that out? How do you live that thing when those tensions are high and we're supposed to be people of peace because of the great mercy and grace that God has shown on us? And I think that's a struggle for all of us.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus just says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And so how do we deal with that? What do we do? How are we supposed to have this peace that you've given to us? And he talks about this idea of not being afraid. And so I think in some of it, there's a recognition that we're agents of justice, and some of it means, you know, what happens will happen, and ultimately God is going to be in control, and we can rely on him to be the ultimate peacemaker, to be the ultimate judge in our situations. And so in that, we can have peace as we seek to be at peace with all men. That doesn't mean it's going to go easy.
Yeah, it's looking at the bigger picture, greater than ourselves. I think you were referring to Romans 5, where God has given us peace through Christ. And John talks about in chapter 14 that Jesus gave his disciples comfort when he was about to leave them by telling them that he was going to give them his peace for them, and that that was going to dwell with them and in them. And I think when we step back and take a look at the bigger picture of those injustice situations that we're in, those frustrating environments that we are in because of the stupidity or the idiocracy of somebody else, like we step back and we're like, man, God gave us this peace. And that can be a door opener for that comfort for us to step back and extend peace and try to live that way. But it's often a feeling that you're in tension. There's the tension of like, you are justified in your anger. You're justified in really just running with the way this relationship is going and the damage that has been done. But how do you walk and work towards that peace is the struggle.
Yeah, well, Jesus was angry too. Like, the emotion of anger is not wrong in and of itself. Mm-hmm. It's an emotion that God has given us because he has it. But making every effort to do it leads to peace. Romans 14:9-18, I think, talks about that. And that's really, I think, the key is making the effort. Like, I have the tendency when I am mad to go guns a-blazing. And
Yosemite Sam.
Yeah, I'm coming in, and it does not matter what you say or what you do. I am going to take you out. The problem is I'm usually right. And but
so you feel justified, right?
I feel justified. And that's the problem, though, is that I'm not making every effort in those moments to lead toward peace. And there's a different way to approach it. So the truth can be used as a weapon. It's one of my favorite weapons. and it can also the truth can lead to freedom, and mm-hmm. it also can lead to peace. And I think that's really the text of that. So if you're in an argument with your wife, you may be 100% right, but how you say it and how you spray it actually matters in those moments mm-hmm. of where it's actually leading, and is it leading to this place of peace?
Paul talked about kind of this mindset that we need to cultivate as we're dealing with these conflicts and confrontations and issues. And I don't know about you guys, but it seems to be a little more conflict these days with what? All the talk of, you know, your opinion on the government, your opinion on COVID, your opinion on whatever. And Paul says, in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so when we decide to, you know, take this mindset and say, okay, God, I need you. I need your help. I need your leading. I'm so thankful for what you've done in my life. This is what I see in this situation. Help me here. And this peace is supposed to, which makes no sense, right? Transcends all understanding. Makes no sense. It's supposed to guard our hearts and our minds, because our hearts can be wicked. We can rationalize our evil. We can think that we're justified and just going off. And yet we need to have this mindset of God that transcends all the understanding, that provides us peace so we can speak truth that is helpful and speak ultimately love into a person's life who needs to hear it, and that we can be at peace in that.
Jesus didn't always do that though, dude. Sure. Like he called them vipers, and so how was that peacemaking? I mean, he's stirring it up at that point.
Vipers?
Whitewashed tombs.
Whitewashed vipers. Whitewashed tombs. How is that bringing peace?
I think
peace?
You can still speak truth, right?
That's name calling, baby.
It was truth. It was truth. And sometimes truth, I think, is very harsh, especially to our ears now. Like, to call those guys whitewashed tombs in that situation, he was essentially saying, you look good on the outside, dude, but your heart, it's corrupt. It is, rotten to the core. Like, I see it. You know, it's true. And so, you know, to point something out is not necessarily to be mean or hateful or whatever. How we do it is important, right? Like you said,
but sometimes you need to get somebody's attention too. Just be like, dude, snap, there you are. That's what you is. I really like that passage. That's one of my favorite passages out of Philippians. But I think the key to that verse is, I think it starts in verse 4, where it's bring your petitions before God. Mm-hmm. Like you're going into this thing ready to rumble, but you're like, God, this is ticking me off. I need you in this.
Well, it doesn't mean you don't rumble though.
Right.
Right? That's not what it means. It means that our hearts are prepared and at peace with what's going to happen, and God's going to use that.
And God will guard your heart and your mind in that. It's like the boxer getting ready, and he's got his guy in the corner, and he's rubbing up his shoulders and putting all the slippery stuff on him so the gloves slide off. Like he's getting ready to battle, but you're getting prepared for that battle so you can fight the right way.
I've got another fun verse for peace. It's Isaiah. It's a very famous one. Isaiah 9:7. Do y'all know that one? Mm-hmm. Isaiah 9:6 and such. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And then verse 7, the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. And so for us, ultimately, when we think about peace and just this shalom, if you will, where relationships are whole and good, we have to look to Jesus being the ruler. We have to look to when he will come back and when he will provide the administration of the world and rule and govern the way things were always meant to be. And that is our ultimate hope and peace. But until that point.
Yeah, I think we're always going to have conflicts and those types of things. But yeah. I think what Jesus does is he restores our relationship with God, which is a part of shalom. Shalom isn't just this idea of peace of how we have it. It is much more than that. It's restored relationship with him, restored relationship with others, restored relationship with all of creation. And I think that is an important concept of how are we pushing in toward God, having restored relationship with him? How are we pushing in toward restored relationships with others? Which also means that when there is distortion, in our relationship, we actually have the responsibility as followers of Christ to go to that person and say, hey, there is a distortion here in our shalom. Mm. There is a distortion in our relationship, and to work toward it being good and it being restored. You know, as I say those words, those are kind of just convicting in my heart. Just that we, when that tension is there, when there's not peace, it is our job as followers of Christ to go and try to make that peace and to go in with the right heart. So that doesn't matter if it's with your kid or with your spouse, with your unbelieving coworker. You have this ability through the work of the Spirit in your life. The Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is peace. And so we're moving toward that with each other. But you're right. It doesn't mean, you said this earlier, it doesn't mean that it's going to go well. Mm-mm. But it is this attitude that I have a responsibility to tell the truth in the kindest way and loving, most loving way possible, and try to restore that.
There's a verse that popped into my mind. I'm trying to remember what it was, but it's where essentially God tells us if we have something, this conflict with our brother, we need to address that first before we even come and worship him. With that, God kind of sets a priority for us. Like, he desires our worship. He wants us to commune with him and to, you know, declare the goodness and his worthiness. And yet that's not as important to him than us address a conflict or something that's violating a relationship or the peace in our lives. He desires that to be addressed first. Not that, you know, it can be resolved necessarily, but that we make the effort to do that before we even come and worship him. And so, mm-hmm. you know, our God is very much concerned with us taking care of these things. I think the tendency for us, or the tendency for me, is maybe sweep things under the rug and, you know, it'll go away. It'll be okay. But whenever you do that, it doesn't work. It does not work. It always like festers and rots and turns into something even more nasty and unfortunate. And so we need to be sure that we are keeping short accounts and addressing those things because they are so important.
And that's like those verses out of Isaiah 9 about the Prince of Peace and the government of peace that he would usher in. We look at that oftentimes as like, yeah, the world sucks. It's jacked up right now. But in the future, when Christ returns, it's going to be better. And so, yeah, we can live in that. We hope on that. We focus on that. But we can still live out some of that peace today. God's peace is with us. And I think that is the struggling point for me when I get into those places where I just want to go into sneak attack mode and jump at somebody for the injustice that they caused me. It's like, okay, I need to step back and boast on God. Like, give him...
You're one of those passive-aggressive.
Passive-aggressive guys.
I just got an image of Travis as a ninja, like jumping behind someone, strangling
them. Sneak attack, whatever you want to call it. But you start to boast on God and the stuff that he has done for you. And when I think of that specifically for me, that helps calm me down a bit. I can look at things a little bit more level-headedly. And then my response becomes more of a response than a reaction.
Yeah, I think that's key. Like, you have a couple of options, and you passive aggressive people out there with Travis who are like, I'm mad inside, but I'll get them. But they don't even know they're getting it, you know, type of a thing. And whatever you're going to do to that person, that is just as bad as the person who explodes and goes and just yells and just goes after it. They're both wrong. And what God's calling always us into is relationship, not only with himself, but with others. Mm-hmm. It's the whole, mm-hmm. you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And the second of these is to
love your others. Neighbor as yourself.
Yeah. And so part of it is like giving them the benefit of the doubt, going to them with some amount of, I'm not going in guns ablazing, ready, to go down. It might go that way. Mm-hmm. The showdown might go that way. And it's okay if it does. But the object of it is, hey, this is something going on. I need to understand. One of the things that's really helped me in that, when I'm frustrated with something or a situation, is for me to state something how I see it, because sometimes it's perception, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And can you help me to understand? using that little phrase, can you help me to understand how we got here? Can you help me to understand why you did this? Because I'm struggling right now. And it's not an attack on them. It's really trying to gain some insight. And sometimes my perception is wrong. And I really emphasize sometimes.
0.2%. Right?
Yeah. Dude, that's high. But
yeah, I was just thinking, you know, one of the things that we have to do in even going to someone and, you know, kind of confronting them or asking them what's happening here, or is my perception off here? We also have to be ready to forgive. And I don't think I'm always there, because a person might be, oh, yeah, dude, sorry.
I'm always ready for them to admit they're wrong.
So I'm like, oh, I want to hold on to this a little bit longer. Like, we have to have that heart of forgiveness, because, I mean, Jesus forgave us.
Right? Well, can you forgive before you're ready? Is that possible for you?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Though I can't live in it in that moment, but I can assent to it, like say, okay, I forgive. And mm-hmm. then it takes, you know, my life and my heart a little while to catch up with that.
But I think when you come in with that perspective, like that's what you're working towards, forgiveness, reconciliation, restoration. Mm-hmm. And both parties are on board with that, where you speak to your friend or your wife or whatever. And you're like, okay, we can come back to this place. We can start to have that conversation where the goal is peace. The goal is restoration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it doesn't mean like instant restoration.
No.
It doesn't mean the relationship is exactly where it's supposed to be. Like if you were babysitting my kids, Travis, and you let one of them run around on the road and play in the soon to be rivers by our house, and we're talking on the phone and talking to Nate, and I came home and you weren't watching him and two of them were in the river, I'd be really ticked at you.
Oh yeah.
Relationally, there'd be a break. There would be a trust portion that Absolutely. Would be earned back.
Yep.
Obviously, but it would take some time. I would forgive you, but it's not, I'm probably not gonna let you watch my kids again. Not that you want to, because you got four of your own. So but I think that there's a tension in there, like in our pop culture, is forgiveness means everything's back to normal.
Yeah.
And that's not true.
Not at all.
But it also doesn't mean that you can hold a grudge and go, remember when you forgot my kid in the river? Constantly to that person. It means like we're working toward this in the restoration.
Yeah. Yeah. You called me out on the grudge thing. I had a situation when I was in like middle school with Kmart. And I went back there one time in college because I absolutely needed some headphones, and that was the only store around. And it's hard. Like, you need that. They never tried to earn back my trust. They never tried to make things right from my perspective.
And now they're out of business.
See what happens when you mess with the sneak attack guy?
Oh, man.
But I think one of the cool things that you look at in Scripture, and there's a verse in Jeremiah where it says, seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for the shalom of it, for in the shalom of that you shall have shalom. And I think we gotta go to God in prayer. I mean, it sounds simple, it sounds Christianese type of speak, but that really helps prepare your heart to work towards those things, especially when you're fired up, and you're rightly so fired up.
Yeah, and if we want the peace that passes all understanding, we're not gonna get it
on our own
from anyone else except the God.
I've tried that. Kmart went down.
Well, I think also when those things go awry and it doesn't go how we hoped and dreamed in our perception of that situation, whatever that may be, we could be 100% right, but the other person is not willing to yield to the truth of what's going on in that situation. What do you do? Well, at that point, that person's really an enemy, and God tells us what to do. We pray for our enemies and we trust that God will deal with it rightly. And that is a hard one for me, is to trust that God will deal with those things rightly. But that is a portion of peace that we're bringing to the table, is going, God, I'm entrusting this thing to you. I'm not forgiving that person. It's still there, because we have to, they don't get automatic forgiveness, but that's always on the table, that we can work through that. And the other part of it is really beginning to pray for our enemies. And sometimes it's just, man, I just got to get over myself, right? And be a little bit more long-suffering in some of those things.
Yeah, because that grudge stuff can be a prison in and of itself. Trust me.
Yeah. And
Poor Kmart.
Poor Kmart. Well, this is good news you can use, and we wanted to say peace to you, shalom to you. We hope that your day is going well and that you are in great relationship with God, others, and all of God's good creation. We'll get back at you next time, but if you have any questions, Travis@evangelup.org, shoot any questions or any thoughts that you would like us to talk about. There's other podcasts that if you want to catch those, that it's at evangelup.org. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.